doing this, and usually at some point during the welcome, I managed to kind of sneak in a joke about Pastor Beer. Well, I don't have a joke today, but I have a really funny story. You know, I come up on odd times and do work up in the youth building. Usually it's just me by myself up there, and I'm just there. Nobody usually comes in. The only person that comes sometimes is Elizabeth Orr, but I know when Elizabeth's there. She comes in, it feels like somebody picked me up, stuffed me in an iPod, shook me around, and turned the volume all the way up. I mean, she gets the music going. Well, yesterday I was up there working by myself. Sheena dropped me off, so no car was there. And I heard this noise just out of nowhere. I panicked. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what this is. I said, God, if it's my time, go ahead and take me. I'm ready. I'm lying to you guys. I was afraid, and I started bargaining. I said, Lord, I'm not ready. I got so much stuff to do. I'm not ready. Nike just came out with these shoes I want to try on. I told Sheena we could get married in 7 or 8 or 9 years or something like that. We just planned an awesome whitewater rafting trip with the kids, and I really want to go on that trip, Lord. Just please, not now. So I started making my way down the hall. I heard it get louder. I'm like, oh my God, this sounds like a transformer walking around the building. So I get to the kitchen, and I said, all right, this is it. Jumped around the corner. There was Buren, shoulder deep in the ice bucket. So, Buren, what's going on, man? He said, hey, trying out my new cooler I got for my birthday. I said, oh, that's the one you've been talking about for about 6 months now. Picked it up on the table and said, I got all these little, it's got these hooks right here you close it with and two straps on the side you pick it up with. And I said, sounds like every other cooler I've seen in my life, Buren. What's going on? He's like, no, this is the cooler right here. This one, he flips it open and the walls are about 6 inches thick on the thing. He said, it'll keep ice forever, man. You can put ice in that, it'll last for 2 weeks. That's awesome, man. You getting ready to go on some Peruvian safari or something? What's going on, man? I said, nah. I just want to see if this ice will be in there next week. Just like that, he was gone. My heart's racing, pulse elevated, and thinking I'm about to die, and he wants to play with his new toy. But last couple weeks up in the youth building, we've sort of been on an island. You know, you guys are down here having your school of positive thinking, and we've been working on being positive as well. You know, kids know my first time being there, talked about walking on water, and it seems like I have sort of a fascination with water. And we talked about water, and it's one of those properties where you can contain it, but ultimately water is going to do what it wants to do. Have you ever been pouring a glass and figured out that, you know, you needed to do something else, you weren't paying attention, and the water just overflowed the glass and just got everything else wet? Well, we wanted to apply that same principle to our lives, overflowing with positivity, with kindness. And that's my experience here at Eagles Way Church. Just the other day, just the most random place, Facebook, message from Joey. We were just talking back and forth about our different worlds. And while we understood that, yeah, we are from different worlds, just that brief moment, he was able to pour some positivity from his world over into mine. And that's what I receive each week here at Eagles Way, you know, from Will, from Buren, from Miss Barbara, Dusty, just talking, just positivity and kindness. My life is filled to the brink of, to the point of overflowing. So when I go up there on Wednesday nights and I'm talking with the youth, I'm able to overflow into their lives and fill them up so that they can go out in the world and they can overflow and fill their peers, fill their parents. Take Serena Clay, for instance. Each morning, since we've been talking about overflow, Serena wakes up and she posts on Facebook, good morning, beautiful people. Have a great day today. Great to see your beautiful smiling faces every single day like clockwork. And I always hashtag overflow on it. And I stopped. I said, I'm going to see if I stop, is she going to continue to do it? She kept right on doing it like clockwork every morning. She uses Facebook to overflow into the lives of everybody on her timeline. Hannah Holloway, I don't think Hannah's here right now, but Hannah told me a story. She went through a really difficult time with her father, and she told me about how she was able to go in. There was this one nurse there And she would always smile. And she went up to him and he smiled back. She went up to him and she said, look, you smiling at me gives me strength to go through what I'm going through right now with my father. And he turned to her and he said, you smiling at me gives me strength to do what I'm doing every single day here. I feed off of what you're doing. Positivity. I overflow into their lives because you guys overflow into my life. Now, if you've been here before, you remember here, you know what's about to happen. You're about to get filled. If this is your first time, welcome. We love you. We're glad you're here. Be prepared to get filled. Be prepared to overflow into the lives of everyone else when you leave these for a while. So much so, somebody might walk up to you and they say, you got something on your shirt. Just tell them, no, that's just a little bit of positivity. It happens like that sometimes. Thank you. We're glad you're here. Let's enjoy this worship service.
Myself keep walking on. Here's something up ahead, a waterfall in like a song. An everlasting stream, your river carries me home. Let it flow, let it flow. For my soul, a well that never will run dry. I've rambled on my own, never believing I would find an everlasting stream. Your river carries me home. Let it flow, let it flow. Open the heavens.
All right. this chapter. He preached this chapter, and I wanted to read it again because it makes me so excited. It says, "O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see when I travel, and you see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered." You see, he pursues us with good thoughts. He pursues us with heavenly thoughts, and his thoughts about you are precious. This next song says, "You won't relent until you have it all." He relentlessly pursues you. He relentlessly chases after you because his thoughts about you are number four, more than the grains of the sand. So let's worship him.
Won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours.
Seal upon
my heart is yours. You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is
Thankful, Lord, that you're there all the time.
Yes.
We need you. You're right there, Father. No matter what's going on in our life, Lord. And Lord, we're just glad you're here this morning, Father. We just bless you and thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God's a good God, isn't he? Woo! Hallelujah. Our ushers are preparing this morning to receive a morning's tithes and offerings and alms. Aren't you grateful for this team? You know, they give a lot of their time and talents and energies and to lead us into worship. You know, it's not the only team around here that we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But I had someone just even in the middle of worship come up and say, man, that team, they could be sitting and drinking coffee in the foyer, but they're not. They're in here practicing early, getting here up. My goodness. Go ahead and begin passing out those buckets. And the fifth Sunday of each time it happens, four times a year, we have Children's Church in here with us. So they are joining us this morning. Let's give them a big hand. If you're normally in Children's Church, put your hand up. Okay. You can barely see them. They're just kind of above the pews coming this way. And several of them are helping to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. And we are getting ready in just a moment to take a few minutes and honor a few people. Another team, our children's ministry team. So very excited about that aspect of it. Just about there. Let's pray and let's thank the Lord for his gratefulness, his goodness, what he has bestowed upon us and allowed us to bring back to him. Father, Lord, we thank you for these tithes and the offerings and the alms. Lord, we ask you to bless them, Father, Lord. Lord, pray for your wisdom and direction, Lord, on how they're used in touching people's lives for you. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So grateful for these that are helping with receiving this morning. And so I have the opportunity to bless a couple of people. These two ladies are full-time mothers. They are full-time wives. They have full-time jobs. One of them is in schooling full-time. The other one working full-time. And they work here at Eagles Way very part-time. Well, let me put it this way. They are paid very part-time, but they give full-time work at Eagles Way. They give so far above what their paycheck may be. But it's because they have a heart and a love for not only your children, but for seeing God imparted into their lives. Because they know that the return that is going to take place is going to be absolutely incredible. A few Sundays ago, we had the opportunity to honor Lori and Brian for the service that they've had over the years here at Eagles Way in the children's ministry. And Holly and Jason have come in and have stepped into some of those roles already. And I'm just going to introduce them both at the same time, but I want to talk just a little bit about Tasha first. Tasha Kramer is over our EWC TOTS, which is the children that are in this room, this building. So it's under, sometimes it varies just a little bit, but under the 5K range. And so she has done donuts and we're dads, and she's done something with moms, and all different kind of things taking place at different times. And so she has kids of her own, and she is schooling. And so Tasha, if you will come down, y'all give Tasha a big hand. She is sporting one of Eagles Way's new kids' shirts that they're going to be giving to all of the volunteers here. And then Holly, if you will join us. Holly is full-time mom and worker and here at the church, but over the children's ministry. And she has actually now gotten involved with the kids' worship. And so she is leading that at times, and we have a team that is working on that. So thank you for what you do. Thank you for the giving that you give. How many kids in here love these two? Just a few kids? Oh, come on. All right. Well, I'm going to give you just an opportunity to say what you might want to say, and then I think you've got a few people that you want to honor and to bless. So who wants to go first?
Well, y'all all know that I do not like getting up here. I like being behind the tree with my babies. They don't, I don't like, so I got up at like 6 o'clock this morning. I was like, oh no, what am I going to say? I was like, oh no, I got to let it flow. I got to let each person that comes past the tree, that volunteers, know just how much you mean to me. I think about like the foundation, like these children from infant to adulthood, the foundation starts with the infants. Like every single one of them, it starts with them. Like you would not be here if somebody probably didn't take you to church and you didn't have that Sunday school teacher that really like touched your heart in some way. And I just want to thank each person, and I have my list. I have a list, and each of these people, some of them volunteer every month. Like I literally never have to worry about the toddler room. It's usually covered every single Sunday. And so I just have a few people, and if you'll just stand, just so everybody can see what a great team I have and just what a blessing each infant through five-year-old has. And there's no particular order. So Regina Creamer, if you'll stand, and Jerry Chapman, Lindsay Tackle, Rebecca Devane, Darlene Tallman, Lindsay Grubbs, Ronnie Nyman and Dale Nyman, Ashley Green, and then these people have volunteered throughout the year. Elizabeth Doss, Dusty Tackle, Cammie Brooks, Camille O'Neill, Tiffany O'Neill, Diane Miller, Jennifer Kelly, Floyd Copeland, Ashley Hines, Cheryl Berry, and then these are the teenagers who I don't know what I would do without my teenagers, because they just kind of do, they come in and play with the kids, and I just love them. So Madison Bush, which she is volunteering today, and Darlene is too, so they're back in the back. Rebecca Bush, Mary King, Macy Tackle, Carly Ross, and Maggie Ayers. And I just want to let each of them know just how much every one of you mean to me. And I forgot about the doormen. So Ricky and Kevin and Brian, they stand at that computer and check in all the kids. But when all the kids are checked in, they still stand there. And they might have to run and get some juice or apple juice, or they might have to rock a baby. Some Sundays, Brian and Ricky are known to rock a few babies, so, and Kevin. So I just appreciate each person, that each of y'all, I really mean it from the bottom of my heart. And not only are you touching my life, but you're touching my children's life. You're touching each child that walks in, and I'm just very blessed to have each of you part of my team. And I really had more to say, but I'll let Holly take over.
Good morning. Please forgive me if I leave anybody out. I have a March calendar and an April calendar here that I'm going to go by. But I do have a few that I can count on every month, that they'll take two Sundays a month. And Leah Kendrick and Linda Kendrick, and I can't forget my Wednesday night people either. Lori and Kelly. I see Kelly sitting back there. I wish I could call you out. I'm still new. Can I use that excuse still? I've only been here a month. But I'm so thankful for those. I can send some of you a Facebook message and say, or I sent Dusty a text last night. I said, do you have any free Sundays coming up in April? And so Dusty's going to be working with our kindergartners next week. I'm so thankful for those that just want to step in and help out. You are changing a kid's life forever. That one Sunday that you're in their classroom, that may be the Sunday that they grasp hold of that lesson that we're doing that day. So they're going to remember you. In our series that we've just finished up is on forgiveness. And you don't think that kids have things to forgive, but some of them have a lot to forgive. And we've talked about forgiveness. Next month, we're talking about humility. We're going to be washing feet next Sunday in kids' church. Not everybody's feet, but we've got a skit that we're going to do, and we're going to show some humility by doing that. Can I go ahead and say what I was going to say? Got to pull my notes up so I don't say too much. Will said I only had a few minutes. We have been given the opportunity as Eagles Way Church to host a senior egg hunt at Brightmoor. why should kids have all the fun hunting Easter eggs? We're going to go out and we're going to help our senior friends at Brightmoor hunt Easter eggs. I need 700 eggs. I have the first, there are over 100 here. My six-year-old counted these. So I say that there are 100. I know there are at least 100. I've got the first 100. I need 700 because we're going to have about 65 or so residents hunting eggs. We'll also need some volunteers to come out to help them in their wheelchairs. There are some that that want to walk, so we have to help those, and you know, we bend over and pick up the eggs for them. But this is the opportunity for us to go and be the church to serve. If you have kids that can go, I know it's the week before spring break. I had to work with their activities coordinator when we can come in. But I really, if you can't come and help, donate eggs. Don't put caramels in the eggs. That's the only candy that they told us not to put in there. But chocolates, I put Lifesavers in some of them. We'll have a bin out front. You can start bringing them on Wednesday night. So we need about 700. The last day to drop them off will be April 12th. So that's the Sunday before. But, you know, let your kids stuff them. It's a service opportunity for them to serve others. Hayden stuffed all of these yesterday, and I told him, I said, you are going to make a senior very happy because they're going to have eggs to hunt and you help with that. So that makes him feel good that he can help and do that. You'll notice our new shirts are orange, and a lot of the stuff that I've been buying lately is, can you tell it's orange? Thank you, Brian, for making these shirts. They look awesome. I appreciate your hard work on that. But the orange, although I'm an Auburn fan, you can love me or hate me, whatever, that is not the reason we picked orange. The curriculum we're using is called Orange. It's 252 Basics, and their whole idea is that the family and the church come together to teach our kids about God. Because I only have about 40 weeks a year with them. That's including vacations and kids are out sick and things like that. I have 40 weeks a year with them on Sunday. You have a lot of time with them. So my job is to come alongside you, post things on Facebook that you can ask your kids about. The red and the yellow coming together. The yellow is the church, Jesus, and the red for family coming together makes that orange. And just know that that's my job, is to help you minister to your kids in a better way. If you have questions about how you can, you know, help your, I know Kelly's, Russell just asked Jesus into his heart. And that's us as the church working with Kelly as a parent for him to do that. And Kelly was able to do that home. And I'm so excited. I wish I could like, I love statuses on Facebook, but they won't let you do that yet. So just thank you for all your hard work. We couldn't do this without you. Summer's coming up, so we're going to ask some of our seasoned, wisdom-filled parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles to come and give our team a break. Sometimes it's just having that summer off that will help us to come back more refreshed. So Tasha and I may be coming to some of you and asking if you'd like to help on a Sunday. Curriculum's super easy. I keep calling Kelly's name because we've talked more about it, but Kelly said even a guy could do it. It's that easy. So that's no offense to anybody, but sometimes we feel scared about going into kids' church, but it's easy stuff, and it's a lot of fun. So that's all I have to say. Will's coming to take the mic away, like the Oscars.
The orange T-shirts for the volunteers are at the back of, at the coffee stand back there. When you leave, make sure you get your shirts to wear. Just a token of our appreciation. And again, we just want to thank everybody for your volunteering and helping. Thanks.
I wasn't going to say anything about the guy comment. There's always a girl comment sometimes, so guy comments come. Pastor Barron, why don't you come in?
Morning. Glad to have you guys in here today. We're going to talk about some things that's important. I'm going to say one particular thing today that you, if you get this truth, the rest of your life, you're going to be so glad you were here this morning to get this. Eat, pray, love thing. We're going to show that up right quick. I called it that way last week, but we have that slide. Hear, proclaim, and praise. We have a campaign going on Easter Sunday. We're going to be receiving a special offering for our sound system. And because the most important thing we do here is hear the word, proclaim the good news. Everybody say good news. That's what we're all about. That's what we do here. That's what we're called to do. And that's what we'll continue to do because that's what we do. Praise his name. And those three things is what we do right here every Sunday morning in this auditorium. And this sound system is old and it's loud and it needs some work on. And so if you'll just bring your thousands of dollars offerings in on Easter Sunday, then we're going to be able to do a whole lot that you're going to be very thrilled about. So we're closing out a series that if you've been here over the last 2 years, then out of the last 15 months, we've talked about 6 months of that 15 months, we've talked about I am who God says I am. And what I want to do this morning, I just want to share some principles from my heart because I not only want you to get this, but more than that, I want you to keep this. See, the greatest temptation for a believer is going back to something. It's not moving forward. The greatest temptation of a believer is to become status quo and that's it, and they never move on, they never go forward. And that's not the purpose of a believer. The purpose of a believer is that we come out of the darkness and come into his light to continue to go from glory to glory to glory. God wants your life to get better and better and better. God wants you to get happier and happier and happier. Aren't you glad of that? And more joyous and more joyous and more joyous. That's his intention for every believer. But it's a great temptation that once you start moving forward. See, the Israelites came out of slavery and bondage, and their greatest temptation kept wanting to go back. They would say to Moses every now and then, you know, it was better. And here's the deception. It was better for us when we was in slavery, when we were under bondage, when we had taskmasters that beat us and made us work. It was easier back then. Really? Of course not. But yet that was the deception they had gotten in. So the temptation was to go back. And sometimes when we begin to move forward, the greatest temptation we'll have is to go back to what was familiar. You know, the greatest temptation of beginning to exercise is to go back to the couch. Anybody ever gone to the track and then gone back to the couch? I mean, the couch is nice, isn't it? And come on, you know, that couch is a pretty cool place to be. But that cool place is not the best place for us all the time. But the most important thing for you to do is to maintain what you've been given. This is a pretty modern day wineskin. I don't know where Ralph purchased this thing, but this is the best illustration I got for right now. But the most important thing for new wine is the wineskin, because this is what's going to hold it. And Jesus said to the Pharisees one time, he said, I can't give you this new wine because you got an old wineskin. And when this new wine goes into this wineskin, which this one's very flexible, it's new. It doesn't need to be renewed. It's okay. And they would pour the wine in and they would seal it up with a cork. And over a period of time, it would start to ferment. It would start to do what it's supposed to do to become the wine that it's supposed to become. And as it fermented, this wineskin would expand and expand and expand, and it would hold it. But an old wineskin is a wineskin that's been tossed aside, and it's not been used, and nobody has taken it up and put some oil on it. I played a lot of ball coming up, and my grandson's playing ball now and having to show him the importance of putting oil on that glove and keeping that glove oiled up, and it keeps it flexible. And that's what the wineskin needed, was to keep the oil on it so that it would stay flexible. And I want to tell you, what's important is not what you have received, the new wine that you have received or you're getting. What's important is you, the wineskin that's containing it. And it's going to be up to you. It's going to be up to you to every day of your life to to make sure that you want this more than you want anything else, that you want to defend this because this is the most important thing that you have in your life. And you will do anything and everything under your power to make sure that you maintain what you have. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, now keep the unity of the faith. Keep it. And all forbearance and long-suffering with one another. Keep what I have given you. And the Apostle Paul, above everything to the churches, you'd find him when he would write an epistle. He'd get to a certain place in an epistle, and all of a sudden you'd see Paul's heart come out. All of a sudden Paul began to pray a prayer. And this first scripture I want to share with you is in Ephesians chapter 3, and in verse 14. And this is what Paul said to the church of Ephesus, which was a church, by the way, of 65,000 people. They met, it was a huge stadium they met in. It was one of the largest church of that day. And the Apostle Paul, standing before them one day, writes this letter. When I think of all this, I fall on my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. As you trust in him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand fully, then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Then he says this great doxology. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. That I want you to know this great love, because everything that Christianity is built on, everything that you'll ever receive from God, everything that you will, how you'll grow in him is you'll grow in love. Love's the most important thing. Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. But Paul said the greatest of these is love. Though I have the faith that I could remove mountains, I have prophecy that I could prophesy, all of these things I have, but he says if you don't have love, if you even give your body to be burned in sacrifice, then you don't have love. You're just a loud noise. You're just a symbol that's making a lot of noise. You're just making racket. Because the most important thing in life is love. And Paul said, I want you to know, how inclusive is your love? How wide is it? How many people can come to that love? You see, the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, and faith. Against such there is no law. You see, love is really the fruit that all the others flow out of. You're the only, now you're a special fruit tree. Let me tell you why you're a special fruit tree. Because apple trees, what do they bear? Orange trees. Lemon trees. Pecan tree. Have you ever got an orange off a pecan tree? But you are a tree that bears 9 fruits. Isn't that amazing? You bear love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, and faith. You bear it all. And that fruit's not for you to eat. Trees don't eat their own fruit. I've never walked by an apple tree and watched it go. Or an orange tree. No, it just stands there bearing fruit. And you go, and before long, Georgia have their great Georgia peaches. And maybe you're the kind, you want to go, you want to be one of those that don't buy it at the store. You want to go to one of those orchards. You want to go out there and pick those peaches, don't you? And so you're going to go find them peach trees. And when you go, I assure you, no peach tree is going to be eating any peaches. Because it's there for you. And the fruit that's on my life, it's not for me. I just stand here with all this love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness and kindness and meekness and faith, and Barbara just eats it. She says, here comes the fruit tree. Here comes the fruit tree in my house. I think I'm going to get a little love from him, a little joy from him. And it's always there for her. And now why? Because when she asked me a few months ago, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, Barbara, I want something that I know I would never buy for myself. That was a little stretch of the imagination. But I said, I will never, ever buy this for myself. She said, what do you want? I said, I want a Yeti cooler. She said, a what? I said, a Yeti cooler. I said, a Yeti? What is a Yeti cooler? I said, what? She said, an ice chest? I said, yeah. She said, that's what you want for your birthday. I said, yeah, I get it. I said, no, this is not any cooler. This is the cooler that pro fishermen have on their boats. This is the cooler that, I mean, when you get it, you'll put a sticker on the back of your car. I got a Yeti cooler. It ain't just any Yeti cooler. And she said, well, how much is this Yeti cooler? I said, well, Bob, they got basically three sizes, and I want the middle one. She said, how much is it? I said, it's $300-something. Yeah. And I picked her, after that, I picked her up off the floor. And I'll sit here, get some love. Eat some love. Eat some joy. And then I said, darling, I'm not asking you to do this. There's got to be some people out there that love me. Just go to Dusty. Go to Chris. Hear him, man. Go find some people that just help you. Go in. And I got my Yeti cooler. You can stand on that thing, jump up and down, slap it. I mean, I got up this morning, I opened it up, and it's still full of ice. It's my Yeti cooler. It's something. And so I want this love. I want to grow deeper, don't you? Next scripture I want to share with you is in Colossians. And it's a neat scripture, and this is one that I really want the young people to get today. I want to tell you something. How many has ever heard about God? God, you heard about God? How many has ever heard about the devil? You heard about the devil? You heard about the devil? No. How many don't like the devil? No good. Not a good person. How many love God? Okay, I want to tell you something about the devil that I want you to know for the rest of your life, okay? If you get this principle, I promise you, and we're going to just let these adults finally get it, because if you can get it, then Terry ought to get it. Okay, I want to say it in a way that everybody will get it, because I've been asked, do you believe in the devil? I want you to hear my answer. Final. No. Now, listen. Do you believe there is one? Yes. Why am I going to trust in him and rely upon him, though? The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, trusts in him, relies on him, would never die but have eternal life. I'm not going to put that kind of trust in the devil. The Ephesians says, give him no place. You see, I found out a long time ago that my ministry was to keep people from him. My ministry what really was to keep people out of hell. Greatest statement I ever made, I've told this before, there was a group of guys, and they was being very sarcastic, and they were telling me oh, their great jobs and what they do, and bragging about this and that, and they looked at me and said, well, somebody said, what do you do? And one of them, being very sarcastically, burst out laughing and said, oh, he don't do anything. He's a pastor. And it hurt for a moment. I mean, I to be honest with you, I got pretty mad. But I processed that with some replacement thinking. And I looked at those guys and I said, I just keep people from going to hell. Now what do? That's all I do. That's all I do. He said in Colossians, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision. the cutting away of the sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you was raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave you all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away, nailing it to the cross. All right, kids, you ready? In this way, he disarmed the devil and all of his demons. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. He took away all of his power, all of his authority, and shamed him publicly, and said he will no longer be a problem to you. That's what. So I don't believe in him. I don't trust him. I don't give him any place. And I'm not going to spend the rest of my life trying to keep people, trying to tell people about hell or tell people about the devil. I'd rather tell you about heaven and tell you about a great life you can have, because that's what I'm called to do. That's what I'm called to do. That's it. So the next passage of scripture, what is it? Let's pull it up there and we'll go with that one. Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. When in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and all our hostility toward each other has been put to death. Wow. Said, now I don't have just a favorite people overseas. I have one family, one nation, reunited into one, and they're all mine. You see, God chose Abraham because he wanted to be father of many nations, not one nation. Many nations. And so in closing, I want to share a scripture out of Genesis. And before I read this scripture, in chapter 13 of Genesis, God said to Abraham, made him a promise, said, I'm going to make your seed as the dust of the earth. I want you to dwell on that for a moment. He says, I'm going to make your seed as the dust of the earth. Well, Abraham goes on from there and goes into chapter 14, and Lot, his nephew, gets captured, and his family gets captured. So Abraham goes and he recaptures all of those that have been captured, and he brought them home. That's where this mysterious person called Melchizedek shows up. And Abraham had all this stuff, and he gave 10% to Melchizedek and said, this is yours, because he was a type of Christ. And he was the type of the priesthood. And then it goes into chapter 15, and Abraham says to God, they bring kick back up this conversation. Abraham says back to God, said, you know, you've promised me a son. You promised me an inheritance. You promised me this, but, you know, it's not going to happen. Matter of fact, I've got a servant here, and maybe this servant is who you're going to use. But it says, the Lord's covenant promise to Abram. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, do not be afraid, Abram. I will protect you, and your reward will be great. But Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, what good of all your blessings when I don't even have a son, since you've given me no children? Now, I want to stop there for a moment. What good of all your blessings, Lord, that I hear about if I don't see any produce of it? If I don't see any results of it? You with me? What's a promise without a fulfillment? I don't know about you, but I fouled up in my life. I've done some things. I've made some promises and didn't fulfill them. I know none of you. I look at you and tell, none of you ever made a promise and didn't fulfill. You never promised your kids something and then didn't come through. We've all done that. And there's nothing quite bad as an unfulfilled promise. Anybody ever said to your mate, "You promised me"? And so when you read that, kind of read it that way, and it's okay. And so he says, "You've given me no children. Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own. So one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said, "Look up to the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And before I read this next verse, because, wow, this is so good. Yeah. See, he said, he looked at the dust. That's it. Same promise. He looked at the earth from which man came. He looked at the dust from which he was originally created. And he said, "I'm going to make your descendants like the dust of the earth." But Abram didn't. It just didn't fly. It didn't get him. But now when he says, "Now, come outside. Look up at the stars. You see all those stars? That's how many promises, that's how many blessings I'm going to bless you with, Abraham." So the next time you walk outside and you look at the stars, remember, every one of those stars is a promise, a blessing to God that he has for you if you'll do this. The next verse says, "And Abram believed the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness."
Amen.
Wow. He didn't get it when he looked up to the stars. He didn't get it when he looked at the dust. He didn't get it when he looked at it from an earthly point of view. But when he did what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, "If you then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, and not on things of the earth. For your life is hid with Christ in God, and when God your light shall appear, you shall appear with him also." And so then Abraham, listen to this. And when it says he believed the Lord, it means he stayed his mind on God. He stayed his mind on God. I want you, church, not to stay your mind on Eagle's Way, not to stay your mind on me, not to stay your mind on anyone but God. Don't stay your mind on the devil. Put him behind you. Don't, you know what? Jesus only had a couple of things to ever say to the devil. This is what he would say. "Shut up. I'm sorry, parents." "Hush then." So all he ever said, "Hush, I don't want to talk to you. We're not carrying on a conversation. Or get thee behind me." "I'm not going to build a theology about you. I'm not going to write books about you. I'm not going to do all I'm just putting you aside. Putting you aside." Abram replied, "Then the Lord told him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you the land as a possession.' But Abraham replied, 'O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure thou will actually possess it now?' And the Lord said, 'Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon.'" Why did he say 3 years old? What was the length of Christ's ministry? 3 years. 3 years. That three-year-old ram, that three-year-old turtle dove went to the cross for you over 2,000 years ago. Wow. So Abraham takes it. He presented thee. He killed him. He cut each animal down in the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did. So vultures swooped down to eat the carcass, but Abram chased them away. Going to be some vultures going to come down and try to sweep your mind. They're going to come and try to tell you it's not real. It's not so, because we are seeing it from an earthly perspective. And those vultures come down, only you and only you alone can beat away those thoughts and those vultures from your own sacrifice. And you're the one responsible to keep them away, because they're coming down. Maybe you've heard the old saying, you can't stop the birds from flying through your mind, but you can stop them from building a nest. When they come in, just run them away. Let me tell you something about birds. They go pretty quick. I don't know if birds are not hard to scare off unless you're Big Bang Theory, and he couldn't scare them off. But they're really easy to scare off. They really are. One gets on my carport every now and then. I'll open the garage door, and he's flying all around. And all I do is just get out of here. And he flies away. They'll go. Those vultures will go. You have the authority and the power to do that. As the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep. Terrifying darkness came upon over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, "You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, but they will be oppressed 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and at the end they will come away with great wealth." Makes the same promise to you. Those vultures that come down to try to take this from you, those things, that those enemies that come against you, I'm on your side. "As for you, you will die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. In four generations, your descendants will return to this land, for the sins of the Amorites are not yet warranted for their destruction." After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abraham saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day. Now, I want you to get this in closing. There's two kind of covenants to be made. I can make a covenant. Keith and I can go into covenant together, and we do like a lot of guys do and shake hands. I'm going to do my part. You're going to do your part. Right? It's called a co-ownership sometimes in business. But Keith's got to do his part, and I got to do my part. And so we just shake hands, or we sign a contract. We both sign the contract. God made that covenant with Abraham. He just said, "Boy, just go to sleep. Just go to sleep." I can't say it like Kelly Varner, but that's where I got it. "Boy, just go to sleep. Because I know you ain't going to be able to keep up this covenant. Because I know if it's a two-way, two-sided thing, it's not going to work." And so God just said, "Go to sleep, Abraham. And I'm going to come down and I'm going to seal this covenant. And I'm going to swear by no greater, so I'm going to swear by myself," he said in Hebrews. "Blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee." That's God's promise to every single one of you. Blessing, 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 blessing. Just don't let the vultures take it from you. I wish I could stand before you today and say, "I've been successful for 38 years of ministry to beat away every single vulture that ever came my way. And I beat most of them away, but every now and then one got in. And it tormented my life for a few months even sometimes. There's been times it could have affected me for a couple of years even. But I'm glad that God is a loving, kind, gracious God who's on my side. He's on your side. And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you to the very end." Jesus said, "You're in the Father's hand, and no man will pluck you out. And that ain't enough. You're in my hand, too." And he just puts his hand over on top. As a little boy is coming up, some people said, "Oh, you can be in the Father's hand, but you can jump out if you want to." That's what I believed for a long time. "Well, you can jump out if you want to." Well, not if Jesus puts his hand on the top of it. He's got you cupped in. And you may jump up, but you're going to hit your head on Jesus. If you dig down, you're just digging down through God. He's got you. Don't ever worry about your kids. You think maybe you're a parent here and you think your kid's far, far away from God. You can't get far, far away from God. The land far, far away is only in Shrek. You can't get far, far away from God. They're right there. If I ascend into heaven, he's there. If I go into hell, he's there. But Jesus was victorious. He comes. I was going to read a passage out of Revelation. We were waiting on that for later on. I'll shock you all at one time. But God's just good God. Just a good God. I give you one look. I got to go to Revelation chapter 1. He said, John just saw him in all of his splendor and all of his glory. Man, he just, I'd never seen anything like it. They tried to kill me. They put me in some boiling oil and I didn't die. So they banished me, because you can't kill a person twice. So they banished me to this isle called Patmos to be all alone. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And what that means, I was beside myself on the Lord's day. I was so thrilled and happy to be with me and God. I just can't tell you how wonderful it was. He said, I heard a loud voice behind me. I turned to see the voice, and I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the lampstand was one like the Son of Man. He was clothed with a garment down to his feet, and his hair was white like wool. And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And when I saw him, I fell down at his feet as dead. But he walked up to me, and he laid his hand upon me and said, fear not. I'm the first and I'm the last. Nobody's going to be in between me. I'm the first and I'm the last. And I hold in my hand the keys to death and hell. Because, see, there was 3 days, 3 nights. They thought Christ was in the tomb. He never was in that tomb. He didn't come forth 3 days later. He never was there. They took a body and put him there. Because the Bible went on to say he went somewhere else that time. He went to a place that was far, far away. But he walked up and he knocked on the door. And somebody said, who's that? And maybe he knocked just a little bit louder. About that time, he opened the door. And Jesus looked right into the pit of hell and said, hand it over. Hand it over. Hand what? Give me the keys. You're no longer going to have them. Give me the keys to death and hell. And now I can say, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? Ain't nobody. We went out to the cemetery last week, and I told Mike and those standing there, I said, you know the strange thing about out here? All these tombstones, people's names on it, we're the only people here. Nobody else is there. They're just monuments to someone who had been. Because they're with God. There with God. Whew. What a God. I beg you. If I could write a book, oh, if God would inspire me like he inspired Paul, I'd get on my knees and I'd pray to God the Father. I'd pray, don't let anybody take this from you. Don't let anybody take this from you. Don't let thoughts, don't let other people, don't let anybody take this from you. This is the most important thing you'll ever have in your life. Don't let anybody take it from you. I can't preach anything else. It's called the good news for a reason. It's called the good news for a reason. Because it is good news. Amen. It works because he works. God's alive and well on planet Earth. Now, you might have heard of a book years ago. I'm sorry if I ain't chasing no rabbit. If I do chase rabbits, I always catch them. There's a book written years ago by a guy and said, Satan's alive and well on planet Earth. Millions of people bought the book. Satan's alive and well on planet Earth. Really? That Jesus conquered him. He's not alive and well on planet Earth. Only one alive and well on planet Earth is you, the church, Christ, God. He's alive and well on planet Earth. Hallelujah. You can read whatever books you want to read, but you better always come back to this one. Because this one's the infallible one. This one's all truth. Let every man be a liar, but let God be the truth. Say, well, Beard, don't you want to tell people about hell and scare them so they won't want to go? Tell you a secret. I tried that. Don't work. I tried to scare them. I've tried. I've preached hell. I made it so hot, my gosh. Some preachers get up and say, you turn the thermostat real high on heat today because I'm going to preach on hell, and I wouldn't really feel it. No. Not called to do that. Hold in my hand the keys to death and hell. Paul said this, it's the kindness of God that brings men to repentance. There's several places in Griffin. One's called the Spalding County Jail. They have a detention center. And there's a place not far from here in Jackson. It's got a big prison. Now, matter of fact, we have them all over the state. Prisons full of people who knew the law. If I do this, I'm going to prison. It didn't deter one single person from doing wrong. Because what would have deterred them from doing wrong? If they had a mother and a daddy, a brother and a sister to walk up to them and tell them how wonderful they are and how great a person they are, encourage them and bless them. They're not there because they're mean, bad people. They're there because they don't know who they are. And that's all I got to say. All I got to say. All right, I got a bunch of eggs. Come on up. And Brian, want to, y'all just kind of stand in front of me, if you will. And I'm going to ask the eldership, they'll come and stand behind these people. Don't you face me, though.
Oh, sorry.
And want to install these two. We have an official install them into their place in their office. And so this is what we're going to do. Holly has been ordained before from my church in LaGrange, Georgia. We recognize the ordination and we accept it because we accept you. And we've seen you. Thank you. It was just both of you are here out of unforeseen circumstances. I mean, a year ago, if I'd seen you anywhere else, I would not believe you're going to be here. I mean, it was just just God's hand directing you to us, and we're glad that you're here. Now, you got to listen to what I'm going to do for Brian, because this is the first time I've ever done this. We're going to install a non-ordained youth pastor. Say, well, how are you going to do that? Because he's not ordained yet doesn't mean he can't pastor yet. And we don't want him. He's out in the community, and people ask him now, what do you do? He says, well, I'm a youth. Finally, he broke down. They wore him down several weeks ago, and somebody said, what do you do? I'm youth pastor at Eagles Way Church. And Brian came in, and he said, is all right, I said that? Absolutely. But we'll see what beholds for the year, days, and months to come. But we recognize you as that person who's leading those young people, and thank you, Brian, for all that you're doing. And so by authority conferred upon me, I install you. I thank you, God, for bringing this lady to us and her husband. I thank you for all the gifts and callings that are within her. I thank you for, Lord, the person that she is helping our kids to become. And we bless her. We recognize her ordination. We acknowledge it. We install her as a children's pastor over our kids. Lord, I thank you for Brian. I thank you, Lord, for, Lord, all these gifts that are inside of him. Lord, how that over the last few years that he was here and he was there, and Lord, you had something for him to do, and you directed his life, and you said that you lead us and you guide us, and I thank you. And we install him as a youth pastor to Lord, continue to lead these youth, teach these youth, and we just bless him now. We bless everything about him, all that he's involved in. We just bless in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. To you both, I just want to say what you thought was going to be maybe the vision you first had. is going to be broadened. And it's not going to be kind of what you had envisioned. Some neat, great things coming about. Glad you're here.